Bless you, Sister Laura. Appreciate the beautiful song. Well, I want to ask for your prayers today as I try to share with you the things upon my heart. I'm going to be reading some scripture. If you care to turn in your Bibles and read along with me, I'd ask you to turn to the 11th chapter of the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 11. And I would like to begin reading with verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And I'm going to stop my reading there, having read through verse 8 through verse 16 for a scripture reading from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want to use this for a title today. There is a heaven. There is a heaven. And the Hebrew writer here in these verses that I have read, speaking about Abraham being called out of his homeland there in Mesopotamia to go out to a place where God would afterward show him. He went out of there by faith, not knowing where he was going to be, but trusting in God that he would show him where he was going to be taking him. And the writer goes into things like what we find concerning these patriarchs of old. You know, God had promised Abraham that he was going to give this land to his posterity. He was going to give this land to his seed. Abraham himself was not going to inherit that, but his seed would, his descendants would. And it talks about in the 13th verse that these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They had not seen the fulfillment of that. Abraham did not live to see the fulfillment of his descendants living in that promised land, in the land of Canaan that God had promised to them. But he died in faith. He died looking still and believing that it would happen, that God would fulfill that. So these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, truly, this attitude is really what all of us as the children of God ought to have. This confession is one that we should all make because really this world is not our home. The home that we have is something that is permanent. And it talks about the fact in the 16th verse, it talks about them desiring a better country. Now, Canaan was, I believe, was a beautiful land, this land that God had prepared them. You know, God gives us good things. And this place that God had prepared for them, this natural habitation, the land of Canaan, this place that God had chosen for them and would give to them, we read about how that it was a good land. It was a large land. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a very good place for them to dwell. But still, there was a place that's far better than that. And is there not still in this world today some wonderful, beautiful things that we can look at? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And we can still today see things in this world, even though we live in a world that has been touched by sin, we can still see some beautiful things in nature. But there is something that's waiting for us as God's people that is so much better than what we have here. The two of them really can't even be compared one to another. And so in the 16th verse, it says, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now, I chose the words in the title of the message, There is a Heaven, for a reason, because I want that to be a very emphatic statement. There is a heaven. Listen, for those of us who have been saved, and we could say, well, you know, I believe there is a heaven. But truthfully today, I can stand before you and say, I know there is a heaven. And we find in the second chapter, in 2 Corinthians, in the fifth chapter, in the first verse, the Apostle Paul makes that statement. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul wasn't just saying, we believe that it's there. He said, for we know that when we die, that we have this home in heaven. Well, if we know that we have a home there, then we also know that that place exists, don't we? And, those who are seeking justification before God by some way other than what the Scriptures teach, those who are seeking to be justified before God, perhaps by their own works or by their own righteousness, they would not be able to do anything more than just believe or hope, perhaps, that there is a heaven. But I'm telling you, those that have been truly born again by the Spirit of God, God has made us not only to know that we have been saved, but He has made us to know that there is a place called heaven. God has given us the knowledge of that, and that's what Paul was expressing. We know this. We know this. We know that if our earthly house, we know that if our earthly life comes to an end, that we have a home in a place that God has prepared for His people. And we read in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus is speaking about His coming, when He's speaking about the end of the world, And he speaks there about the saved and the lost and the time that he's going to separate them one from another. We find that those who are lost are going to hear, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." But those who are saved will hear this, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And so the Lord has prepared a place for his people. And, you know, the beautiful thing about that is not only is the beauty of that place, and not only is the place that God has for us to dwell, not only does it exceed this temporary world in every way, but the one of the greatest blessings about that is that it is a home that is eternal. And we read in the 10th chapter of Hebrews in the 34th verse, the Apostle Paul said, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance," something that will last. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 14, it says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." And so the Lord has given us, when he saved us, he has given to us eternal life, and he has given to us an eternal dwelling place. And so we know that this life that we live here, this place that we're dwelling now is a temporary dwelling. I mean, we all know that, don't we? We know that we're not going to stay here. We have a place right next to our church building here, known as the Fairview Cemetery. And these places like that, these cemeteries, we have all over the world, and they serve to us as a constant reminder that this world is not permanent, that our stay here is temporary. And not only is it temporary, but really it's very temporary. It's very short, the time that we spend here. But we have a place of a more enduring substance. And I'm telling you that when a child of God leaves this life, now I know that when that happens, I know that when that takes place, that we have sadness in our hearts. You know, it's hard for us to bid people farewell. It's hard to see people go. But I'm telling you that when a child of God closes their eyes in death, when God calls them from this life, they are in a much better place. They have gone to a better home. They have gone to an eternal home. They have gone to a place where the things that afflicted them and plagued them and bothered them and tried them while they were here in this life will never exist anymore. They will never face those things anymore. And I realize today in preaching this, I know that we have some young Christians here, and we have some that are here today that have not been saved very long. And you know, this may not be as real to you. It may not make as much sense to you, if I could put it that way, as it does to others. I know that when I was a young person, when I was a younger Christian, perhaps I didn't think about it as much or on the same level as I do now, but it seems like to me that the older I get and the more I realize that my life here is swiftly passing me by, the more I begin to think about that which God has prepared for me. The more I think about heaven, the more that eternal home comes into view. And so there is a place for us where that God has prepared. And let me tell you something. Anything that God makes is wonderful. Anything that God makes, you can go back and read in the first couple of chapters of Genesis, the account of creation that's given there. And you can read how it says that when God made something, that he beheld it and it was very good. And, you know, the Lord has made for us a wonderful, he has made for us a place that we will dwell for eternity, that the Bible tells us that our eyes have not seen. We have not yet imagined. Our eyes have not seen. Our ears have not heard. It's not really even entered into our hearts yet, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And so I realize today that as I stand before you and try to bring this message, I realize today that I'm not really going to be able to tell you in this what heaven is really going to be like. It's going to be better. Listen, when we get there, it's going to be better than it's been ever been talked about in any sermon. It's going to be better than it's ever been imagined in any of our thoughts. It's going to be better than it's ever been written about in any of our hymn books. It's going to be better than anything that we have any vision that we've ever had of that, because we haven't even yet really imagined what it's going to be like. But thank God that the scriptures do tell us some things concerning the land called heaven, the place that God has prepared for his people, that we can know some about it, that there are some things that we read about and we know about from the scriptures that we will experience in that place. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this, if you're here today and you're lost, heaven's a place you don't want to miss. Don't miss heaven, friend. If you do, then you've missed it all. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he believed that it was better for the Christian, that it was better to leave the world and go to be with Christ than it was to stay. He wrote that. He expressed it this way in the Philippian letter, in the first chapter of Philippians, I believe verse 23 or so. Paul said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." What did we read there in the 11th chapter of Hebrews? They desire a better country. Now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. And Paul wrote about that and he said, "I am torn between the two. I'm in a strait betwixt two because you see, I've got a desire to go there. I've got a desire to depart and to be with Christ." And the Apostle Paul, he didn't only say that for us to depart this life and go to heaven to be in the presence of Christ. He didn't just say it's better. He said it's far better. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But he realized that it was also needful for him to stay here and labor in the flesh and labor in the gospel as long as the Lord would have need of him. But listen, when it came his time to go, we have his testimony recorded that he certainly had no reservations about going. He was ready to go when he realized that that time had come, when he realized that that time had drawn near for him to depart. He wrote this to the young preacher Timothy. He said, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not unto me only, but all them that also that love his appearing." And so Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy. He said, "They're getting ready to martyr me. the time of my departure is at hand. I'm getting ready to be sacrificed, but I'm going to the place of my desire, going to my long home. Don't you know that we will be so happy there? I've had some happy days on earth. How about you? I've had some happy times in the house of God. I've had some happy times. I've had times when my cup overflowed. I've had times when God manifests His presence among His people, and we begin to love each other, and we begin to rejoice, and we begin to feel the presence of the Lord. I've had times when my cup just ran over, when somebody was singing a good gospel song, somebody singing praises to the Lord. I've had my cup run over hearing God's people testify about His goodness. I've been blessed hearing the preaching of the Word of God in my lifetime. I've had some wonderful times on earth among God's people and in the house of the Lord. But listen, we've got something that's so much better that's yet to come. Listen, no matter how good that you have felt on the earth, no matter how much that you have enjoyed times on earth, we just haven't really seen anything yet, people. We're going to be happy. We're going to be happy in heaven beyond our ability to understand it right now. It's beyond our comprehension right now what we're really going to experience. So Paul had that desire. This world is just, as I said, it's just temporary, and it's just something that we're passing through. Now, I'm thankful, and I've told you this many times, I'm thankful that along my journey that I was able to seek the Lord by His help and find Him and be saved. Everything has been all right with my soul ever since then. And ever since the very time that the Lord saved my soul, He placed it in my heart. He placed the knowledge in my heart when He saved me, that makes me to know that I've got a home in heaven when my life is finished. It makes me to know that. I'm telling you today, the people of God know that. We know where we're headed. We know where we're bound. You know, God's people have been writing about it in songs for years and years. God's people have been testifying about that for years and years, because we have been made to know where we're headed. And I know even the young Christians, even though they may not be thinking about it as much now as perhaps they will later, they know too. They know too that God has given them a home in heaven when life has come to an end. There's a song that I remember as far back as I can remember that we've been singing in these missionary Baptist churches. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I don't believe God wants us to feel at home here, because it's not our home. We are to be looking to that city. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Colossians, in the third chapter of Colossians, he said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Jesus spoke this, and it's recorded in the sixth chapter of Matthew in verses 19 and 20. Jesus told us not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but he said lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And he also went on and said, wherever a person's treasure is, that's where their heart is going to be also. And so the things of this life are subject to moth and rust. They're subject to decay. They're subject to the thieves. But listen, in heaven, we'll be in a safe haven. In heaven, there won't be anything. You know, the place that God has prepared for his people. I won't ever have to be concerned about corrupt leaders. I won't ever have to be concerned about corrupt politicians corrupting that place. I won't have to worry about that. I won't have to worry about the effects of sin. I won't have to worry about unrighteousness. There won't be any there. There won't be any sin there. We'll never know the effects of it. We'll never know the effects of unrighteousness. That's a place of righteousness and of peace. There's no conflicts of any kind. You know, the Bible talks about heaven as a place of no mores. There are some things in heaven that will be no more. We'll know them here on the earth, but in heaven, we will not know them any more. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it mentions some of them. It talks about the fact that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. You ever cried here in this life? Have you ever had anything here in this life? And I know that you have. Have you had things in this life that have saddened you to the point that it caused you to break down in tears? Caused you to weep, your heart hurt. You felt pain to the point that you broke down in tears over that. Well, take courage, my brothers and sisters, because the time is coming when God will wipe all the tears away from our eyes and we'll never cry about anything else. I'm looking forward to heaven. How about you? I love the life that God has given me here. I love being with you. I love being with my brothers and sisters. I love being with friends. I love being with family. But I swear before you today, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to the permanent home that God has for us. We're going to have us a time there. We're going to have us a time. We're going to have the best worship that we've ever had. Won't be anything, the things that exist here won't bother us. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death. Hallelujah. No more death. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? I'm sure that that's got something to do with the scripture that tells us that we've not yet ever yet really imagined heaven. No more death. No more cemeteries. No more funeral homes. No more coffins. No more corpses in that place. Death will not exist there. There will be no more death. Folks, I've been surrounded by that. I've been exposed to that all my life. I've had to watch people that I've loved all my life die and pass from this world. But in heaven, that'll be gone. That'll be behind us. No more death. No more sorrow. And no more pain. Can you imagine that? We really can't, can we? Not having any type of pain ever again. Nothing, no physical pain, no allergies, no emotional pain, no heartache. Heaven's perfect. It's perfect. This world is not. It's not. Here we cry tears. Here we experience death. Here we feel sorrow and we feel pain. And we will as long as we live here. But when the Lord takes us home, that'll all be behind us. We'll leave all that outside the gates of heaven. Never experience that again. You know, I was thinking when I was studying, I was thinking about how the Bible says in the 16th chapter of Luke that the angels came. When the beggar Lazarus died, the angels came and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And I begin to think about times that I've taken flight. I've always been amazed. I remember one time flying up to Alaska for a revival, and I remember thinking about how it was just amazing to me how that I could go that many miles away in the course of about 8 hours of flying time. Just amazed me to think about that I could get that far in that short a time. But I haven't taken my quickest flight yet. I'm telling you, the moment we die, I'll tell you what, the angels have much greater speed than a 747. I mean, the moment we die, the angels will carry our soul and we will be instantly in the land of heaven that God has prepared for us as his people. I believe just as soon as Lazarus closed his eyes in death, he opened his eyes in heaven. And that's what will happen for all of us. And so, heaven is real. And you know what? They don't have to make a movie to convince me of that. There have been people that have said, you can make of it what you will. I know what my take is on it. But there have been people that have said, yeah, I died and I went to heaven and then the Lord didn't said it wasn't time for me, so he sent me back. And I don't need any of that. I really don't. When God saved me, he gave me all the evidence I need that heaven is there, that it's real, and that I have a place there. Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There's a city of light where there cometh no night, for the sun never sets in the sky. In the Bible, we're told that the streets are pure gold and a cool, gentle river runs by, and I'm bound for that city, God's holy white city. I'm glad. I'm thankful that if I am among those that go the way of all the earth before the Lord comes, I'm thankful that while I live, that I possess the knowledge that when my body sleeps under the dirt, that I'll be with God. I'll be with him. I'll be with him in that place that he's prepared for us. And Nothing will ever hurt me there. Nothing will ever hurt you there. I mean, you talk about a safe haven. There isn't one that compares to heaven. Nothing there will ever defile. Nothing there will ever harm in any way. I'm going to tell you something, friend, here today. You need to seek the Lord, and you need to be saved if you're not saved, because when you get saved, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, and you have a home in heaven. Nothing else is ever going to compare to that. Brother Strode, let's sing. Nobody will be sick there. Won't be visiting any sick friends there.
Number 39. There'll be no shadows in heaven. No cares to darken the way. God's face with light will be shining throughout the eternal day. Has ne'er yet been told. There'll be no weeping in heaven. No sorrow ever can come. God's hand all teardrops will banish. In heaven, our home, sweet home. 'Twill all be joy up in heaven, beautiful city of gold. Contentment reigneth eternal. Has ne'er yet been told. There'll be no parting in heaven, for time and space count no more. God's love will there reunite us with dear ones who've gone before. 'Twill all be joy up in heaven, beautiful city of gold. Contentment reigneth eternal. The half has ne'er yet been told.